Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
What's Dr. Copper telling us?
Well, Dr. Copper is actually telling us that the global economy is looking great. I mean, strong, you know? And so I think we have to respect Dr. Copper on this, because doctor takes the temperature of the global economy. We've seen a nice rally since around July of last year, but then it picked up again. We saw Copper run into some overhead trouble in January, and but that was part of a broader market pullback because the market was starting to price in a recession in the U.S. Now we see fears of that fading as well, because jobs numbers are incredibly strong. Jobless claims, unemployment claims are actually going down. And as much as the Fed keeps raising rates and talks about raising rates more, the economy keeps on trucking. I mean, I was speaking to a guy the other day about trying to get flights, and the flights are all full. We have more flights than we had a year ago, and yet all the flights are full. And if you go to like a resort, they're full and you're paying full price. I mean, the economy's zooming along. I don't think what we're seeing in Copper is as much about what's happening in the U.S., though certainly the recession scare didn't help, but it's more about the global economy, specifically China. China's coming out of a 3-year COVID lockdown, and so things are looking much better there. It is the world's main copper smelter. And so, that all looks pretty bullish, at least for the global economy. So that's what I'm getting from Copper.
And of course, with EVs gaining in popularity, an electric car uses 277% more copper than your regular car does.
It all depends on the car. Some of them use more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, So especially the newer ones, which is also a bullish story for chips. We should speak about that as well. That's another thing that I'm quite bullish on. But yeah, the EV revolution is hitting higher gear. And in fact, I think they want to build 500,000 EV charging stations in the U.S. over, what is it, the next 5 years? Might be longer than that. In any case, there's a certain time frame. They want to build 500,000 of these things. Each one takes somewhere between 80 to 90 pounds of copper. So just from that alone, that's a tremendous demand. But copper is so useful for everything. It's useful for EVs. It's used for green energy or renewable energy, whatever you want to call it, solar, basically, also wind. It's just used in many, many things. So demand is just going to go up. Exactly how much, it all depends on who you want to speak to. Wood Mackenzie says that we'll see major copper deficits through 2030. Goldman Sachs expects the price of copper to rise another 30% between now and the end of the year. That's a huge move. Now, that doesn't have to come true, but, you know, Goldman Sachs generally knows what it's doing, so I'd say the odds are actually favoring higher copper prices at this point.
Yeah, and of course, right here at my own Strata Council, we had our irrigation system stolen, and we replace the copper piping with plastic. Hopefully there isn't a run on plastic.
Yeah, well, that's actually a problem, not just with your local council, but I mean, they talk about the expansion of green power in places like Africa and stuff. If you think like copper thieves are a problem in North America, you should go to a place like Africa. They will steal all the copper that isn't nailed down, you know? And so that could be problematic going forward. That might hurt some of the actual demand projections, because if the copper keeps getting stolen, maybe they won't use that. You know, they'll just do something else so they won't have their stuff stolen. Well, we'll have to see. The whole renewable energy, green energy, new energy, I guess we call it, revolution, is just holds so much promise, so much potential and peril for investors, but there's new stuff coming all the time. I was just reading a story in a scientific journal today, and I posted it to Twitter, as a matter of fact, that they've now found that they can use the hard stuff in, like, lobster and crab shells. Is it pronounced a chitin or else kitten? It's like C-H-I-T-E-N. That stuff can work as a substitute for lithium, not in the same kind of battery, but in a different battery that'll do the same kind of thing. Now, that's very early stage, but if we find stuff like that, you know, I mean, there could be some tremendous groundbreaking developments ahead in the EV space. That's one reason why I find it such an interesting place to invest.
Now, here's a discovery that we don't hear anything about. Back in 2013, a Victoria, BC high school student, 15-year-old Anne Mazankowski, or Mazosinski, developed a flashlight that could run off the heat of your hand. And I haven't seen any flashlights or anything else that runs off the heat of your hand or any other body part. I think the battery companies might have bought her out.
Or else it takes forever to bring new technology to market. I mean, this isn't World War II where they dream something up in the lab and then use it to fight the Nazis the next month. It takes a long, long time to actually bring technology along. It would be great if hers works. And also, there's the fact that some things work in the lab, but they don't work economically enough when you try to mass produce them. And that has stopped more scientific advances more than anything. It's just that they have trouble reproducing lab results. That does not mean that that it can't work. It's just there isn't chance anyway of like things not working out.
And of course, there are cars that can run on compressed air, but there's no money to be made in compressed air.
Of course not. You're never going to see those rolling down the street.
What do you feel is happening to the stock markets right now? We've had a bit of a rally. Is it going to continue, or is this kind of a what pilots call a sucker hole, a little blue patch in the sky you head for, and by the time you get there, it's closed up?
I have to tell you, I'm being very selective about what I'm adding right now. I'm adding copper and oil stocks because China wants both copper and oil, and I'm adding chip stocks. In fact, we added NVIDIA. What was it last week? And it's up like 14% today. So you can see demand for certain kinds of chips is going to be phenomenal. Another thing that we're adding is cybersecurity. Because the world is more uncertain, you would think that would make CEOs cut back on spending. But actually, the world is uncertain, so CEOs are ramping up cybersecurity spending. So select stocks in that can do well. And I like lithium stocks, they've been treating us nicely. But to my point, I'm being really selective about what I'm buying because the broad market, I think, could have more risk to the downside. Why is that? Because the Fed keeps telling the market that it's going to keep raising rates higher for longer, and the market freaks out for a couple days, and then it goes back to its old ways of, they'll end sooner than later, and stock prices go higher. I really think that the Fed, as we know it now, is going to keep raising rates until they see inflation come down to the 2% range. The problem is, I don't see that happening this year. I think the Fed's a little disconnected from reality, frankly. I think they should accept higher inflation because there are so many things beyond their control that go into raising prices. And so until they accept that reality, there's a risk they could do something dangerous, and that has to be priced into the market. So it's just me looking at the market. It's easier for the broad market to go down now than to go up because of what the Fed is doing. That doesn't mean individual industries and sectors and stocks can't outperform. Yes, they can. I like energy here. I like copper here. But for the broad market, it looks like we're in for a tough patch until the Fed comes to terms with inflation or tames inflation to the point that it wants. But like I said, I don't think that's happening this year.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what do you see happening with the U.S. dollar?
Strong and getting stronger. This is all due to the Fed. And it probably drives some people bananas, the fact that I was negative on the U.S. dollar for so long, and now I'm positive on the U.S. dollar. But the thing is, the Fed has made it clear what it's about. Many smart people who I listen to in the market said, the Fed's going to pause sooner than later. And that was really weighing on the U.S. dollar for quite some time. Now we saw not only the Fed say higher for longer rate hikes, but we also saw the U.S. dollar come down to and bounce off of important support. So it had that important support to use as a platform anyway. And then the Fed says, we're going to raise rates higher for longer. That is bullish for the U.S. dollar. That tends to weigh on gold. Gold is not performing well at all. Now, I do believe that'll change sometime this year. I believe the dollar will start to go down again and gold will start to go up again. I'm just not sure exactly when that's going to happen.
What's going on with gold?
Well, the dollar. The dollar's going on with gold. I mean, we are seeing a nice rally in the dollar, and gold is just taking it on the chin. I mean, how long ago was it over 1900? What? This month it was over 1900. In February it was over 1900. It was like over 1950. It was crazy. Now it's what, 1830? I mean, that is not good. And so we have seen some, just the air come out of the like sales of gold, and it is coming down. Now there is support not too far away. Maybe that'll be okay, or else it really all depends on the Fed and how the Fed makes the dollar rally. That's really it. Don't talk to me about inflation. When inflation was high, gold did not react well. In fact, inflation was cooling down as gold started to really take off in like January. So I know people talk about gold and inflation all the time. That seems to have disconnected. What really matters is what goes on with the U.S. dollar, and that's primarily affected by the market's anticipation of what the U.S. Federal Reserve is going to do. That's kind of maddening for any investor that we have to wait and see how the market interprets what some guys in gray suits sitting around a table somewhere decide about interest rates. But that seems to be the overwhelming thing driving the market right now. And so I'm just trying to be very respectful of that.
Anything happening in cannabis?
No. In fact, we exited some cannabis positions. Now, of course, me exiting them, and it wasn't that long ago, that's probably a sign for cannabis to go higher, right? I mean, because I'm out, so everything will go up. But that's not what's happened. For months now, it's really been dead money. It either goes sideways or it goes down. And so that's not any fun. There are things that are going up even in this market, and I'd much rather have the money in those things that are going up.
Anything going on with uranium?
You know, I mean, I really have not been, I mean, I've lost enough money in uranium. We've also made money, but I mean, lately it's just been a tough haul, right? And I don't know. I mean, if you can find a uranium stock that's behaving well in the past month, go ahead and buy it. Because the ones that I look at are not doing well. Now, I'm a big believer in the nuclear power story. I think that if we are planning a greener future, we need nuclear power. We just do. Because, you know, the sun goes in at night. So we need nuclear power to just be that, like, thing that, like, seals all the cracks in the global grid. Yeah, we need nuclear power for that. It's just not behaving like it now. So how long have I been, you know, thinking that nuclear is going to break out and hit higher? For a long, long time. And yet, I've just learned to keep my mouth shut because, by gosh, it just constantly disappoints you. I would like to be buying uranium stocks right now. I'm not, just because of the behavior of them. Now, of course, me saying this to you right now, that will be the signal for uranium to go on an epic run, right? I mean, because it's all about me. But to be more serious, I don't really understand what's going on with the uranium market right now. The fundamentals would seem to be more bullish than the stocks are actually playing out. That's a hard market to figure, so good luck to anyone who's trying to do that.
Lithium, is it going to pick up or has it picked up?
Lithium has hit multi-month lows. God, I'd have to call up a chart. And yet we're making money. It's crazy. What a disconnected market that is. Now, part of the reason we're making money is because there's injections by, say, GM. They put a bunch of money into one of our positions, LAC, or it's LAC in the U.S. It's Lithium Americas, whatever the symbol is up in Canada. And SGML has rumors of a buyout, though those could fade. But, you know, they have rumors of a buyout from Tesla. So there is merger and acquisition activity going on in the space because many of these car companies are planning EV futures, and yet they don't have secure EV supply. So that can really move things around. Prices are going down for a couple of reasons. Let me see if I can list them all off the top of my head. One is China cut its incentives to the EV battery makers in that country, and that really kicked lithium prices in the teeth. That headed lower. And also there is a Chinese EV battery maker called CATL, and they are now offering EV batteries at a discount. What they're doing is they're foregoing any profit they'd make on their lithium mines. They are a battery maker and they own mines. They're foregoing that profit just so they can sell batteries cheaper and then profit on the batteries. Not every lithium company has that ability, and so that's weighing on the price of lithium as well. There are a few other things as well, but I mean, the longer term outlook for lithium is very, very strong. Unless someone really gets working on that, you know, using the substitute of the shells of like lobsters and crabs, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. You know, lithium looks like a good solid bet for at least the next 5 years, but nothing goes in a straight line. It's pulled back a lot. You could do worse than looking for select lithium companies to invest in now.
Well, I've just looked up whatever happened to the hand-powered flashlight. You can buy one on Amazon. Hape Toys. Hand-powered flashlight, $23.98 Canadian.
Huh.
So,
really?
So Anne is making some money off her invention, maybe, perhaps.
Good for her. Good for her. So, yeah, I mean, these things can happen, you know, and new inventions can come along. Now, maybe that hand-powered flashlight isn't the big game changer, probably because most people like brighter flashlights. I mean, they have some now that are like the surface of the sun, and so she's probably losing out to that. But if, you know, you want something for an emergency, that's probably a good thing to have around and not a bad thing at all. And so, you know, I hope she does well. New inventions come along, but they come along slowly. This is not a global economy or a market where change happens overnight. Sometimes something really catches people's attention, I mean, I can't remember a time recently when the market's been so excited over something the way it's excited over artificial intelligence now. Now, we have, I think, two bets on artificial intelligence, and I'd be happy if like, all the hopes people have for artificial intelligence pay off. But on the other hand, you know what? It might be just some people having wishful thinking. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I approach artificial intelligence, as I try to do everything, with enthusiasm, but tempering that enthusiasm with rationality. You know, don't believe everyone's hopes and dreams, because some of them aren't going to come true.
Take a look at autocorrect on your phone when you text a message.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks very much. It's always fun.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.